Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Around the House. I'm Terry McHugh. It is Thursday the 20-somethingth of May and I'm lying in my bedroom, wrecked, because I just done my second run of week three of my couch to 5K thing, which I have no idea why I've started. My knees are in agony because I've got two bad knees as it is. I don't know if I've mentioned this one here before, but I said to my daughter one time, she said, I've got two bad knees. She went, were you kneecapped? I went, what? Why would I have been kneecapped? She went, you're from Belfast. I said, did you do drugs? I went, no, I didn't do drugs. Why would I do drugs? Because you're from Belfast. I was like, that's a bit racist if you ask me. But no, I don't know why I have two bad knees, probably because I'm old. But I did the second run of week three of this thing, and I don't know why I'm doing this. It's like, I don't know why I'm doing it, but it's part midlife crisis and going, oh, Jesus, I'm going to get a belly here. You know what I mean? And, which, you know, I'm getting to be tiny belly for years. I could eat and drink what I wanted, do no exercise, and didn't have to worry about it. Now I'm starting to, you know, put wee bits of flab on, which I don't like. Because I don't want to get to that point when you look down and you can't see your bits because your belly's in the way. You know what I mean? Because I think when you get to that point, it's too late. There's no going back. So I just want to get ahead of this. So it's part that. The other part is that someone told me I couldn't do it. Again, tell me I can't do something. I was like, fuck you. We'll see. So I'm doing that. And this week, it's you walk for 90 seconds, run for 90 seconds, walk for 90 seconds, run for 3 minutes, a whole 3 minutes, which is the longest that made me do in one go yet. Then you walk for 3 minutes, run for 90, walk for 90, run for three. So I've done that. I've just done that. And I think I covered about a mile and a half. But I don't like running in public. I know, like, how can you run in private? Oh, I've got my own private road. Oh, yeah. But no, I don't like people seeing me run because, again, Erin, who I think, she didn't worry about it. I think that she has bullied me my whole life. She said to me about 3 years ago, we're walking somewhere. And just out of nowhere, she went, I've never seen you run. I say, what? She says, I've never seen you run. I was like, what the fuck's that going to do anything? She goes, do you run funny? Why would I run funny? And so I think you run funny. I think you've got a funny run. So it's a bit you run like Phoebe out of Friends. I was like, what, like a lunatic? And so yeah, I reckon you have this really weird run. That's why I've never seen you run. And I was like, Erin, you've never seen me run because you've never seen me being chased. And so I think you have a weird run. She says, go on, run now. Sure, and let me see. I was like, I'm not fucking running. So yeah, it's because you've got a weird run. You don't want me to laugh at you. I was like, no, it's because, you know, it was weird getting put on the spot by a then 14-year-old. So ever since you've got a funny run, and everyone, she'll just bring it up out of the blue every once in a while, but you run weird. So I don't want to run the roads because I'm paranoid. She's made me paranoid that I've got a weird, freakish run. And also because around here, like, everybody knows everybody else around here. I hate it. If anyone drives, and it's like we back roads, like we live in the middle of nowhere, it's we country back roads. Like, but it means if any cars do come, they're going to know me. And they're going to be like, is that Terry McHugh running? Because for some reason, anybody that knows me thinks that I'm this lazy git who doesn't exercise, doesn't walk, doesn't do any sort of training, doesn't look after himself. And you know what? They'd be right, because I don't. It's possibly why I've got... oh, excuse me. It's possibly why I've had two strokes. But what I'm doing is I'm running up the road a wee bit. And I get so far, and I think to myself, right, nobody's seen me yet, so I'll head back. So I head back to the house. And as I said last week, you know, each one of these things is about 25, 30 minutes. So I head back to the house, and I go back down to the house, and Joe Ailey pops me here, and she goes, okay, you've got another run of 3 minutes. And I'm like, fuck, I'm at the house. So rather than run back up onto the road, I just do laps in my house. And if anybody lands down here and sees me running round and round my house, they'll just go, or something that right, what's you? You know what I mean? So I'm doing that, and again, 9th of July, 5K, and then I'll probably never run again. I'll just fucking two fingers to everyone who said I couldn't do it, and then just labour getting fat. So what have I been up to? Other than that, well, Saturday, Yeah, it was Saturday there past. My wee boy, my youngest son, the wee baby of the house, he got his letter to say that he'd get into the school he wants to go to. So he's my last kid in primary school. He's gonna be a first year, and all three of my kids are gonna be in secondary school. And if I don't feel old now, I'm gonna feel old then. Anyway, and all I can think of is like, fuck, I've got to buy him a uniform. And school uniforms cost a f and you gotta buy him a blazer. And I was going, well, his bro is at the same school, sure he can have one of his old blazers, but no. The sneaky bastards at the school he goes to decided they were gonna change the badge, the school crest. It's completely different. And they changed it 2 or 3 years ago after Michael had started. So it was all right, because he was he didn't need the new one because he was in Europe. But if I send Patrick in first year without the new blazer, everyone will know it's a hand-me-down he's got. And you know what fucking kids are like? Oxfam blazer. What kids probably don't even say it anymore. That was something we used to say. You just go, oh, you got your uniform at Oxfam. Kids now probably say, your ma's got monkeypox. But that's so wrong. We do, oh, you Oxfam blazer. Did you get your blazer at a charity shop? Fuck, we were dicks. We were dicks. See the things we used to do. The HR. Like, I was, again, I work with fellas, they're all like 19, 20, 21. Even the one that works with us, he's 27, 28. I tell him about some of the stuff we've done in school, and he just, like, their jaws are on the floor. I mean, one of the ones we used to do was used to do what was called posting. And what that involved was you'd grab someone. Sometimes it was your mate. You'd grab them, and you'd need four of you, and two people would grab an arm each, and two people would grab legs each, and you'd basically stretch them. Like spread eagled, right? And then you would run towards the goalposts, one of the posts, right? Legs first, legs akimbo. You would run them into this post. So basically, their bits were just going into a goalpost, right? And like running and running, four people running your balls into a goalpost, right? As if that wasn't bad enough, once they made the connection with the goalpost, the two guys that had the arms would let go of their arms, run round, and they would grab a leg each. So you've now got two people on each leg. Your balls have just been obliterated in the goalpost. And then what you would do is the four of you would then pull them towards the goalpost again and lean back. So this guy now has the weight of four people hanging off his legs, basically crushing his balls against the goalposts. That's the kind of stuff we done. It was like, I mean, there was a time in our school where we went sitting there, and like every Halloween, bangers would come around, right? Now, to be honest with you, I think that's something that kids are worse at now than we were, because, or maybe it's just Ranoma, where I am. We never shot a firework in the crowded area, but I've seen wee wankers around here, and they're coming down from school, and they're all loads of them, and they'll actually shoot the firework into the crowd of lads. I actually seen a woman near get her head took off by one that was shot by a kid from the school. And see, we dicks like that need their bollocks kicked in. Fucking, they'll not do it again. But we had bangers, right? And you never threw them at anyone. You let them off, And again, Belfast, they hear this loud bang, and everyone were like, well, who's it? Wouldn't take a flinch, would he? But we thought, because we had handball alleys at school, and when the ball hit the wall, you just get this real sort of reverberation echo. And when you shouted on it, the noise would bounce off all. And we were sitting one day and went, what do you reckon would happen if we let a banger off in the handball alley? Surely that would make it louder. All right, probably would. And then one of the other lads goes, if we put the banger in a milk bottle, now this was a glass milk bottle you used to get back in the day, none of your plastic shit, right? When the milkman used to deliver stuff to your house. Do the milkmen still exist? Do they still bring, like, is there people still wake up in the morning and open the door and get their milk off the doorstep, hoping that a bird hasn't pecked at it? Let me know. Oh, which reminds me, I'm going to start doing a thing on this called Ask Terry Stuff. So you can email me at terrymchugh@terrymchughcomedy.com if you want me to talk about anything, or if you have anything you want to ask me, or if you have any problems you would like my ridiculous advice on, or if you want to answer some of the stupid questions that I ask, thinking out loud, which, so today says, do milkmen still go to people's houses and leave glass bottles of milk? But anyway, so we thought, we'll put them on and goes, put the banger in a milk bottle and we'll put that in the handball alley. And then it'll be loud because of the milk bottle and loud because of the handball alley. And we were like, oh, we'll do that. So went and got, one of the boys went and bought a pint of Diluting Orange. So something else shops used to do, they'd sell you a pint bottle, a glass pint bottle of Diluting Orange for 50p. So he quote drank that, put the banger in, put it in the ham, corner of the handball alley, the very right in the corner of the handball alley, and lit the fuse. Now, I also have to tell you that the school I went to backed on to Crumlin Road Jail. Okay, so you went up to the big football pitch where the handball alleys and the PE hall was and the big huge gravel football pitch. We played football on gravel, right? Like you go in for a slide tackle and you'd lose fucking, you know, couple of pounds worth of skin. Goalkeepers, you're in nets. I'm not fucking diving for shit. Like it was just gravel. It was just loose gravel. You know, if someone fouled you, you ripped the pieces. Wouldn't be allowed. No, health and safety. Fucking. But anyway, our school, the big pitch backed on the criminal jail. So it was the walls of our school, right? Big brick walls that you, and then like there was a gap between after this wall. It was probably about, I don't know, 3-4 meters wide. And then there was the gates, the big, huge fences of criminal jail. And in the corner overlooking our yard was, I think it was two of them actually. There was two watchtowers that the British soldiers used to sit in, right? And it was weird because, like, you'd just be running about doing your school thing, and it was a working jail at the time, you know, like the lads were in there at the time, and the lassies, I think there was like women in the crumb, but like it was a jail for the RAN UVF, no, and it backed on the R school. Or our school backed on the up, whatever way you want to look at. And I guess one strange thing is there's like the hung people in there and buried them on site. Like, and there's, I think there's still, I could be talking shite here, but I think there might still be a few unmarked graves in the crumb. Like those boys buried there and don't know where they are. Hang on. Again, I could be full of shite. But anyway, so the school backed on a lot, and it was funny. I had to laugh. There was one bit where you could sort of hop the wall, and we were playing football one day, and someone skied a shot. Again, if he'd been playing Gaelic, he would have got a point and applauded. But he skied a shot and went on over the wall into this gap in between the our place and the crumb. So I just fucking, I'll go over and get this ball. So I got one of the boys to give me a leg up over the wall, jumped down, and was running along this sort of corridor of what I later discovered was a corridor of death, running down to get the ball. And next thing was like, don't you fucking move. It's like, who said that? Who said fuck? Don't fucking move. I'm sitting looking around me going, Jesus Christ, it's God. God's an Englishman. And then I looked up, and it was one of the Brits up in the watchtower. It's like, don't you fucking move. I was like, what the fuck? I was basically, like, you know, I was in no man's land, basically, and was now considered a fucking threat to the jail. I mean, me, fucking me, right? Now I'm a skinny shit as it is, who's on here gurning about his wee belly. Like, when I was in secondary school, 15, 16, I was about 6 stone, right? I was a fucking, what is it they say, a string of pish or something? I don't know, or a drip of water or a long drip of water, anything. Put it this way, people have said to me, even now, they go, oh, do you have to jump around to get wet in the shower? Like, fuck up. You have to stand up twice to make a shadow. You're so funny. Guy actually called me Belt once. Belt, because he reckoned that's all he could see in me, was the belt. And that's the thing as well. Why are you allowed to tell skinny people, oh, you're a skinny bastard, look at the state of you. No, I mean, I had someone turn around and go, look at you, you hunger striker. Like, fuck off. That's highly offensive. But it's socially acceptable to tell a skinny person that they're skinny bastards. You can turn around and go, you need to start eating. But you couldn't turn around to a fat person and go, fuck, you need to go easy on the fucking burgers. I'm telling you, skinny people and ginger people are the only two breeds of people that aren't protected by political correctness and wokeness. You know what I mean? You can say whatever the fuck you want to a skinny person, and you can say whatever the fuck you want to a ginger person. So fucking God love you if you're a fucking skinny ginger. But anyway, so me, fucking six and a half stone fucking is now a threat to the jail. And he's got his gun cock pointed at me. And I'm like, fucking hands up going, can I just get my ball? Don't fucking move. Fuck me. So I walk slowly back toward, and then I go, and then I realised, hold on a fucking second here. I've been given a leg over to get here. The wall's, like, there's more of a drop on my side than there is on that side. How the fuck am I getting back out of here? So I'm standing there, I can't get the ball back. I've got a Brit pointing a gun at me. I'm looking at this wall going, how the fuck am I getting up at? So I started, it was like a real old stone wall. It wasn't like a brick wall, it was just a stone. So I managed to find enough wee holes and footholds to get myself up. But the whole time shit myself that I'm going to get a fucking ball at the back of my head because I'm trying to break in the Crumb and No Jail to break out Jerry Kelly, for fuck's sake. Just wanted a football pack. But anyway, so we put this banger in a milk bottle and then put it in the corner of the handball alley. And fucking one of the boys lit it and we ran for cover and it went off. And oh my God, you want to hear this thing? It was just this massive fucking explosion, right? I'm telling you, you could hear car alarms going off in the distance. This thing reverberated round that handball, round the school. I'd say half of Belfast heard it. I'd say a lot of people stopped and went, fuck, there goes Castle Court again. You know what I mean? It's weird, a shopping centre that was blown up three or four times before it was even built. Like, you want to hear, and backing on to the fucking jail, and next thing you can see the Brits scrambling and a helicopter came down and landed in the Crumb and all, and you're like, gee. Now, I don't know if the helicopter might have been landing there anyway. It might not have anything to do with the massive explosion that we had just caused. Ripped the fucking the plaster and the dice, pebble dice, whatever you want to call it, ripped that off the wall of the handball, you know. Fuck, we ran. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, seriously, half of Belfast thought something that had this shit blew out of it. We didn't get caught. That was the best of it. We didn't get caught. But the thing is, this milk bottle just exploded as well. It was shrapnel. We're lucky we can kill somebody. And I was like, oh, well, that was good. Wait, what we do now? Fucking nutcases. And the nicknames we gave each other, Jesus Christ. It was a guy, who went to art school, and he was really short, and he was really sort of wee, but he had a massive head. Wee tiny sort of scrawny body and a massive head. And we called him Fetus. If I met him today, that's what I'd call him. And God love him. There was one time we were in science and they had us, they gave us like a sheep's trachea or trachea, whatever you call it, and then down in its lungs. Well, the sheep's lungs, trachea, and like heart and other wee bits and pieces. I don't know where schools get those from. Like, is there a shop? Is there a catalogue you flick through and you buy animals? Insides? You know, like, they ring up and go, hello, I need 7 perfectly formed sheep's insides, please. You know, several rats and a couple of frogs. So we were dissecting this thing and it went down and there was, you had some intestines with her as well. It was like someone just ripped the inside of a sheep out and slapped it down. We were to cut it up and we thought it would be hilarious to cut its intestine off and put it into this fella's pocket of his blazer, which he had hung over the chair. So class finished, not arrest, and we were leaving. And this guy put his hand in his, he was only a dickhead, used to walk with his hands in his blazer pocket instead of his treasure pockets. Fucking weirdo. And he put his hand in his pocket and he was like, he threw this thing. It's fucking sheep blood and guts all over the place. And they had to shut down, I think it was C block, science block. They had to shut down the science block to spray it down because people might get hepatitis off this sheep this kid had thrown around the room. This is the kind of shit we done for a laugh. Like, it was one time we tied a guy getting the bus up the Antrim Road. And the Antrim Road, if you know it, you know it. If you don't, right, our school was just off Carlisle Circus, basically. And we lived on up sort of Glencore anyway. I'm from sort of Newington, but my man and dad had moved up the thing. So we're coming up and we got to the bottom of Cave Hill. Now from bottom of Cave Hill to Glencormley, probably what, three and a half, 4 miles maybe. So there was this guy, he used to get off the bus at the Cave Hill stop. But what we done was we tied his tied his shoelaces to the seat of the bus. So he's sitting there blah 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 blah. So while he's talking shit, I'm down tying his shoelace to the seat of the bus. I tell you, I tied a knot that day that a fucking sailor would have been proud of. So tied at the thing, and his stop came and he went to get up and he realized that his shoe and therefore him was tied to the chair of the bus. He was like, fuck you, I can't be fucking, I've got to get off this, this is my fucking stop. So what he did was, he just took his foot out of the shoe and fucking limped off the bus. The way he went, left her with the shoe tied to the seat. We're like, what the fuck are we going to do that? Brandy's away, ready. She's off, he went, one shoe. They're like, fuck. Brandy planted him on, he was mad. It was pair of kickers, like, back in the day, they were fucking the shoes to have. And he went off, he went with one kicker, and... and there it was, and it was a couple of days. It was a Friday, because right that night we says, "What the fuck did you do with your shoe?" And what he got his ma got in touch with City Bus as it was then, and basically said that he'd lost his shoe on the bus, and they were like, "Yep, we found a single solitary shoe tied to the chair. It's in lost property up at the Rufford depot. You want to come get it?" Showing up and got his shoe back. You bastard, you. And the thing was, that was just us going to school. You know, it was just, that was perfectly normal behaviour for us. See, if you'd done that now, fucking hell, the stuff, it'd be called bullying now. It would be bullying, whereas to us, it was just going to school. But anyway, as I was saying, my kid, he got into the school he wanted to go to. Now, the school he was going to, it's a grammar school, but it's a grammar school that done the right thing and dropped the 11 plus, the transfer pit. I think any school that's doing the transfer test, the Board of Governors are a disgrace. The Board of Governors are a bunch of people sitting around thinking they are something. You know, the leaders in the school who are all, oh, we're here for the good of the children, they're feeling in their duty of care to kids by making them do that thing, because the transfer test is an evil, fucking hateful piece of shit. Now, down here in where I'm living now, the girls' grammar school did the transfer test, but the boys' grammar school didn't, which was a fucking disgrace, because it meant there was girls at the age of 10 and 11 sitting in classrooms being told, you have to prove yourself to go to secondary school, but boys don't have to prove themselves to go to secondary school, right? Now, I'm not one of these fucking... male feminist types who's just, you know, blathering on to get likes on Facebook and all that shit. But I thought that was a fucking disgrace. Teaching kids at that age, oh, the wee lads don't have to prove themselves, but you do, was just wrong. It was wrong. And then those girls, God love them, all sitting on transfer result day, shitting themselves. Why, wee lads were like, oh, whatever. You know what I mean? And then the letters came out this week about what school they were getting into. And again, it meant the girls who wanted to go to the grammar school were sitting shitting themselves again, right? Which was wrong, totally, totally fucking wrong. While the wee lads were like, oh, I'm getting into my school, no bar. You know what I mean? Didn't have to even worry about it. Now, a mate of mine, so my wee lad got his letter. He's into the thing, right? Now, I know people who were taking their kids out for dinners and buying them, like, you know, big expensive presents, £100, £200, because they got into the school they wanted to go to. But the kid didn't do the transfer test. The kid, you know, the kid was guaranteed to get in. You know, like, I'd be like me getting my kid, wee Patrick, oh, well done, mate, there's £100 because your older brother goes to the school you wanted to go to and I filled in a fucking form. So I got Patrick a card saying congratulations in the front of it. And then when he opened it, it just says congratulations on having an older brother at the Christian Brothers and on me being really good at filling in forms. I gave him 20 quid in the end. I felt bad because some of his mates get stuff and all the rest. But he got into his school. That was Saturday. And you know what? That's the podcast this week. I'm gonna go. Oh, might have a gig tomorrow night. I don't know because I've just got a text message saying that the venue might not have an entertainment license. And you think to yourself, fuck me. The venue came looking all this about a month or so ago. You'd think they'd have sorted that shit out in advance. And then next, on Thursday next week, I am back up at the Laughs at the Loft at the Brickworks in Derry, which is my favourite comedy club, run by some of the best mates I have. My favourite people in comedy, Peter and Ivan and Bobby and all. It's going to be brilliant. I'm headlining. So if you're from Derry or surrounding area and you're listening to this, come see me because I'm working on a new hour of material because I'm trying to get this new show done. So I'm going to try some new material. So come and see if I die on my hole, if my new material's funny, or if it really needs work, or if it should never be done again. It's fiver in, and it's a fucking great night. Some great acts on with me as well. So I'm looking forward to that. And that is the podcast. So next week's might be a day late because I'm gigging on Thursday night. I don't know. Now I am away to make some dinner. I'm gonna have some beans and sausages. You know the tins of beans and wee sausages. I'm convinced them wee sausages have cocaine or something in them because they're fucking awesome. So I'm gonna go make them. I'm gonna have a beer and I'm just gonna chill. And hopefully have a gig tomorrow night. So anyway, thanks for listening. Oh, and like I say, if you want to ask me anything at all, we're gonna do Ask Terry stuff. Okay? Email me Terry McHugh at terrymchughcomedy.com. Anything you want, and I'll talk about it on here, answer any questions you have, discuss your problems if you have any. Anything you want. Okay. I've been Terry McHugh. This has been Talking Around the House again. Thank you so much for listening. If you've got this far, review it, subscribe it, tell your mates about it. I'll see you again. Good night. Good night. You may be listening to this first thing in the fucking morning. The fuck? Get me. Thank you. Good night. Fucking hell, Terry. You're getting all dicky. You're getting all podcasty. Again, seriously, thanks for listening. I'll see you again. Cheers.